God, we do thank you that you are, above everything else, trustworthy. There is none like you, and we are here to recognize what a privilege for us to call you our God, because you have claimed us as your people. And so we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you with every fiber of our being for your goodness, your grace, your mercy and kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, as we come to your word, we're grateful for the inspiration in which you inspire us. You fill us with your spirit to understand your word. We thank you for instruction that can be applied to our lives. Again, we thank you for your encouragement, the strength that you give us to face the challenges that we face. And Lord, the strength that you give us to be a blessing, especially to those in our lives who are facing tough times. Would you use us to bless them as well? So thank you for your word and this time in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Dave and I attended the classis meeting yesterday. Is classis a foreign word to any of you? A little bit, maybe. It's a group, literally, it's a Latin term that means fleet of ships. All right? So the Reformed Church in America came from Holland, and so the term classis was, in the 1600s, ships going across the Atlantic to come to our country here. So they've kept some terminology that's that old, and I think our Book of Church Order is nearly that old as well. But Dave and I went to a meeting yesterday in El Monte, and we met in a church that's been on the top of many of the people who've been involved with classes at the top of the prayer list for over 3 years, because they've been without a pastor. And yesterday we met their pastor, a young man that they hired just recently. He's in his last semester at Talbot Theological Seminary, which is at Biola University. His name's Kevin Gallmeyer, and he's preaching this morning. And Kevin's a neat guy. Kevin is a 6'4" retired Marine that looks like he's still active as a Marine. The guy is enormous. He's just a mountain of a man. And gentle as a giant, too. I mean, he's just a good soul. And
Iraqi
so,
and Afghanistan vet.
Yeah, Iraqi and Afghanistan.
Purple Heart.
Yeah.
He's so an amazing guy.
He is. And so I say all that to say, let's be a part of El Monte Church's prayer support with their new pastor. That's just a good news kind of thing. We sat at the table with him, and I just couldn't help but be really excited to be sitting across the answer of a 3-year prayer, right? I said, man, it's going to go well for you. Spiritually speaking, it's going to go well, because he's the answer that's taken so long to come to fruition. And that's exciting. On the drive home, Dave and I discussed many things. But the thing that kept spinning in my mind was the decimation that took place in the classes. Our denomination was kind of blown apart. And I won't name names, but a leader tunneled deep into the organization of the Reformed Church in America, set some dynamite, crawled back out, and then triggered the explosion. And when the dust had settled, not only did a majority of our churches leave with their properties, but they also emptied the bank. And you know, in God's work, money means nothing. It really doesn't. It's irrelevant, because he has everything, right? He can move things as he wills. But I would hate to be the person if I'm correct in my thinking, who decimated a whole bunch of churches and left churches without. We are very, very blessed. You know, we didn't build this. But man, what a place to be envious of. Are you kidding? Look at these floors. These tables and chairs.
Nice view.
Nice view, coffee. Wow, it's so good.
Could be worse.
It could be worse. So today, we are looking at the final instructions that Jude offers to the church that he loves and is founded on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jude's older half-brother, Jesus, died on the cross. And Jude once doubted his older half-brother, but now he writes with such a deep passion for the church. He's serving as a leader in Christ's church, and Jude is writing instruction for dealing with fallen Christians. That's the little passage we're looking at today. Those who doubt, those who are playing with fire, and those who are in the fire. The verses in Jude are 22 and 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Those who doubt. The words Jude uses implies a double-mindedness, double-minded about issues. It's a very powerful tool in the hands of the enemy. It's like the warning James wrote about being tossed like back and forth in the waves, not being able to settle our minds. Maybe Jesus' finished work isn't enough, might be part of that tossing and turning. Or maybe I should go along with the leader that is obviously a scoundrel. Gosh, look at all the people following. That kind of being double-minded, tossed around. Jude is saying, be merciful. Questioners of the doctrine, the purity of the gospel. That's what Jude is really writing about and, you know, intense about, is the lordship of Jesus. Maybe what my body does makes no difference because the flesh is just going to be burned up. That was an argument in the history of our churches, is we question the purity of the gospel. But Jude says, be merciful toward them. He instructs us who are in Christ to be merciful toward the doubters. Mercy is to extend grace and kindness toward the sinner the same way that God has shown mercy to us. Right? There is no one, I mean, the joy that we shared at the beginning that I have to interrupt, right? That's a pure joy. That's a delight for being together. And that kind of joy came at a great cost. Jesus died so that all of our filthy clothing could be gone with and we could be clothed in clean clothes and enjoy fellowship with one another. And I'm not talking literal clothing, but the clothing of righteousness that Jesus gives us. Well, those who are struggling and doubting whether all this is true or not, we who know it's true need to be merciful towards them. This is Jude concluding after really saying, you know, the false teachers who are throwing a monkey wrench into all this, they better look out. Be merciful to the people who are tossing and turning and having doubts. To those playing with fire, Jude's second group of fallen Christians are those who are playing with fire. Maybe they have joined forces with the false teachers and are complicit in using God's grace as a license for immorality. They change grace to license. Jude, in this letter, has referenced Zechariah. Like Zechariah described in Zechariah chapter 3, I'll read the passage to you. It's chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 in the prophet Zechariah. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." You see how Jude is referencing this particular event in Zechariah's prophecy. Joshua the high priest was rescued from the fire like a burning stick pulled out of the fire. The Israelites had been exiled in Babylon, which was God's judgment on a rebellious Israel. And Joshua was being rescued to serve God in taking Israel to the promised land. So there's those who are playing with fire can be rescued from the fire, like Joshua was, for the Lord's purpose. Rescue them from the fire, snatching them from the fire. Jude is saying that it is possible for people in peril to escape God's judgment and to be snatched from the fire. It's God's desire that we be involved in snatching others from the fire. Interesting. It's God's will and desire that we be involved in that kind of mission that He's all about. He hasn't written us off. Neither should we write each other off, but be helpful to those who are doubting, be willing to rescue those who are playing in the fire or playing with fire, and finally, for those in the fire, to others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. The false teachers themselves, those who are leaders misguiding God's people, show mercy mixed with fear. That's interesting. Perhaps we should fear the influence of these misguided leaders, or perhaps the certain judgment that is in store for those who change the grace of God into a license for immorality. Whatever Jude's intent here, by the way, my Greek is pretty rusty. That's an understatement. But I guess this particular passage in the Greek is one of the most difficult in the New Testament. That's a confession that I'm not going to go there. But the people that I have trusted with discerning and writing about these verses looked at this as being Jude calling out three different kind of levels of people. Those who doubt, those who are playing with fire, and those who are actually the false teachers themselves. It says, hate their filthy garments. Hate's a strong word, isn't it? It really is. It's an attention getter for sure. You know, when we're growing up and we say to our beloved sibling, "I hate you," we're quick to learn. You know, some of you learned with a verbal lashing, and others of us learned with the Board of Education to the seat of the pants. But hate's a strong word. But back to Zechariah 3, Joshua's filthy clothing was discarded for new clothing. And he served the Lord for the rest of his days. So get rid of this filthiness. We don't have to participate in the filthiness. We don't have to take sides and divide our families over issues that are dividing our world right now. We can rise above it or submit below it. Just be godly people holding our people together, encouraging those with the mercy and kindness of God, rescuing from the fire those who are dabbling too close to the fire, or maybe who have sold the farm and bought wholeheartedly into this disgrace. Whatever it is, our part, Jude says to the church, is to be merciful. But even hate, that which is so against God. Okay, be merciful to them. Jesus' lesson on mercy must be considered here. So when Jesus was teaching about mercy, he talked about a man who was deeply in debt to the king, and he begged for mercy. The king was calling his debt to account. Have him pay his debt, and if he can't pay it, put him in prison and his family, and he owes more than he can. And if he's not going to pay up, throw him away. And he begged for mercy, and the king forgave him, canceled his debt. Wow. So this man with a new lease on life goes and finds someone who owes him 20 bucks. And he says, wait, just give me a little time and I'll have it for you. No way. Throw this guy in prison. And treated him so poorly. Well, when word gets back to the king who forgave this man a great debt, that he wouldn't forgive another person 20 bucks, he said, take that man and throw him into the outer darkness. See, the lesson on mercy is to show mercy because we've been shown mercy. To recognize that we're all sinners, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we cannot be forgiving and extend that grace and mercy to others, we're missing the point. We're missing Jesus' teaching. And so, be merciful to them. The things that make you go, well, so what? We must praise God for His mercy. We must remember that our forgiveness in Christ came at a great price to God. Gratitude for the cross is to influence how we move through life. Gratitude for the cross is to influence how we move through life. Gratitude can get lost in our burning world unless we stop and praise God for His mercy. It doesn't have to be anything huge and great, but it really does us good to regularly stop. Stop the spinning out of control when anger and frustration and I can't believe. Take a deep breath. Focus on God. Bring it back to His mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you for rescuing me from this craziness. I'm going to trust in you. get involved in his mission. I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. You are all involved in the mission. I couldn't help this morning but to catch a glimpse of Harvey heading home, and was hoping that he'd be at that back table. But you know what? Harvey's recovering from surgery, and he needs us. He needs our prayers. He needs our love and support. And you know what? You're just the people to do it. Mike is still recovering over at the Springs after having his right foot amputated. Sylvia says he's doing okay. Doing okay. Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah. There are so many people who need us, whether it's to shoot a prayer to God on their behalf or to just come alongside with a kind word or whatever kind of help. Don't limit what God can do in and through you, church. Get involved in his mission. You know, yesterday we got introduced to a really neat young man. He's got two sons who are one's a teenager, one's about 8 years old. And you know, for a big giant of a man, he was kind of nervous about this morning, you know, starting this new ministry and really wanting to serve God with all his heart. I think he said, you know, people were saying, here's a guy who is trained to slay men, now rescuing them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think, yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Get involved in his mission. Stepping into the messy middle of life. Think about that. Satan's strategy is always divide and conquer. Always. He does it in the smallest of groups and the largest of groups. He does it in nations and he does it in families. And we as the children of God, we need to just frankly step in the middle of the mess and hold people together. Boy, I tell you, as a parent of adult daughters, I have felt like I've lived in the messy middle for a long time. And you know what? Thank God that I get that. Thank God that I refuse to write off my children. Because I believe that's the message God has been showing me of his love for humanity. I don't write off those that I've created, Mike, and you won't either. You're right, God. You're the Lord. I'm the child of God. Yeah. We only can do that by loving the people in our life. Loving them either in the messy middle or on the radical fringes where people are lost and looking for God. We need to be loving people wherever they are. That's getting involved in his mission. It's wonderful that we can come together and open God's word together and hopefully learn together, grow together. That's all good. I tell you what happens at 11 o'clock when you leave here, maybe 11:15, maybe 11:30, I don't know. Whenever you leave this room, till you come back again, that's God working in and through you. That's the purpose and mission that you have in this life, that I have in this life. It's not about making ourselves anything. It's about glorifying God in our relationships and allowing him to use our relationships to connect with people that are either in the messy middle or on the fringes but are missing his great love. Finally, remain in his grace. remain in his grace. I want to go back to verse 20 and read again what Jude's "so what" has been so far. He says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. But for the grace of God, we've heard said, there go I." Right? So we don't... Jude is just calling us beloved believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his complete mission of forgiveness through his death on the cross to stay the course. Just stay faithful. Just keep your eye on Jesus. Just keep loving people in your life. Just keep a good attitude. Just keep moving forward. Yes, when the burdens become so great, and when our cares need to be cast upon him, do so. Allow others to come around and support and lift us up with that God who cares for us. But stay the course. We sing about standing firm in Jesus Christ. Well, standing firm in his grace. What happened a year ago to the denomination is a terrible thing. I think it was disgraceful. But so what? What matters is that we remain faithful in Christ. And look at what God's doing. Look at how he is blessing your life and mine. Yesterday, I talked to one of the speakers who was representing a large area of the country. And he had come and he said, "You know, this group is filled with the Holy Spirit." He said, "God is here. Do you feel it? Do you recognize it?" We're like, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "That wasn't always the case." And I think he was pointing out that some of the shenanigans that were taking place behind the scenes were masking the beautiful work of God in churches like ours and others who are considered small churches, who can't be doing it right. You know what? Let God be the judge. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for your word. Thanks for Jude, who has given us some challenging things to think about, but most of all, a deep love for the gospel of Jesus Christ upon which our lives are secure. And so to be available to those who are doubting or those who are really dabbling in the wrong stuff, even to those who are teaching the wrong stuff, fill us with the ability to extend your mercy and love, to show kindness, to be filled with love and joy and peace. Lord, use us to fulfill your mission until Christ returns. Thank you for that deep conviction of Jude that has survive the ages and now come to us through your word. And Lord, thank you for the beauty of your church coming together in faithfulness and music. And thank you for the opportunity you give us to contribute in the mission, to walk alongside those who are doubting and those who have given up, but to extend grace. Well, and thank you too, God, for a church that has been faithful in giving. I ask you to bless this time, to keep it pure, to keep manipulation out of the picture, and just be a time of giving to you, of worship you, because you are our God, and you have extended your grace to us through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.